The Womanity Project. Let's talk about gender. Genders. Gender? Gender equality.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Womanity Project Live. I'm Aurélie Harp and you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. Friday, January 20th is Inauguration Day and President-elect Donald Trump will become the official 45th President of the United States of America and replace President Barack Obama at the White House.
Well, I just had the opportunity to have an excellent conversation with President-elect Trump. It was wide-ranging. We talked about some of the organizational issues in setting up a White House. We talked about foreign policy. We talked about domestic policy. And as I said last night, my number one priority is to try to facilitate a transition that ensures our president-elect is successful. And I believe that it is important for all of us, regardless of party and regardless of political preferences, to now come together, work together, to deal with the many challenges that we face. And most of all, I want to emphasize to you, Ms. President-elect, that we now are going to want to do everything we can to help you succeed, because if you succeed, then the country succeeds. Please, sir.
Well, thank you very much, President Obama. This was a meeting that was going to last for maybe 10 or 15 minutes, and we were just going to get to know each other. We had never met each other. I have great respect. The meeting lasted for almost an hour and a half, and it could have, as far as I'm concerned, it could have gone on for a lot longer. We really, we discussed a lot of different situations, some wonderful and some difficulties. I very much look forward to dealing with the president in the future, including counsel. He explained some of the difficulties, some of the high-flying assets, and some of the really great things that have been achieved. So, Mr. President, it was a great honor being with you, and I look forward to being with you many, many more times in the future. Thank you, sir.
On Friday 20th, the eyes of the world would be on Mr. Trump as he takes the oath of office and offers his inaugural address. It will go something like this. I, Donald J. Trump, do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to be the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. So help me God. After the swearing-in, Mr. Trump will give a speech that will, as all inaugural addresses are, be recorded in the pages of history. And the very next day, on Saturday, January 21st, Mr. Trump will take office. And that is the day the organizers of the Women's March chose to protest. We were lucky enough to meet one of the organizers, Brienne Butler, for the Womanity Project. Brienne Butler, a 26-year-old pastry chef who cut her teeth in the kitchen at Facebook HQ and has made a name for herself creating couture-inspired cakes and candy rings for high-end brands. In November 9, 2016, her journey changed and she became a women's rights activist. Let's hear how.
So, my name's Brienne Butler. I'm 27 years old. Born and raised in Detroit, Michigan, I moved to New York in 2011 to pursue my degree as a chef. So I started working at a Michelin star restaurant on 60th and Madison. And I did that for almost 3 years when I got a Facebook message from Facebook saying,
wow,
we want you to be our pastry chef. So,
you're kidding me.
No, yeah. So I was the pastry chef there for almost 2 years. And then I started my own business. And yeah, I was doing it full year. And it was great. I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about just, you know, dealing with people directly and communication, time management, just everything. Because it's just me. Like, I'm all of a sudden, you know, I'm a one-person show. And obviously, when the election happened, there was a lot of concerns, you know, particularly as a small business owner, I had concerns as a woman, and especially, you know, in our industry, in the restaurant industry, it's very sexist, and sexual harassment happens all the time. And it's unfortunately something that as a female, you almost just deal with it. And it's such a shame that it's still such a sexist industry, and trying to change that. But Donald Trump's comments about grabbing women by their private parts.
Whoa.
I did try and fuck her. She was married.
That's huge news there.
No, Nancy. Yeah. No, this was marriages. And I moved on her very heavily. In fact, I took her out furniture shopping. She wanted to get some furniture. I said, I'll show you where they have some nice furniture. I took her out furniture. I moved on her like a bitch. But I couldn't get there. And she was married. And all of a sudden, I see her. She's now got the big phony tits and everything. She's totally changed her look.
She's your girl's hot as shit. In the purple.
Whoa. Whoa.
Yes.
Whoa. Oh,
yes, the Donald has scored.
Whoa.
Oh, my man. Wait, you got to look at me when you get out.
Like,
sets
this up.
That is very
will you give me the thumbs up?
Look at you. You are a piece.
You got to put the thumbs up. You got to get the thumbs up. Can't be too happy.
Else off first?
Yeah, let me.
It's very fun.
You
got
to give me the thumbs up.
You and I will walk there.
Oh my god.
Maybe it's a different one.
Better not be the publicist. No, it's her. It's
yeah, that's her, with the gold. I gotta use some Tic Tacs just in case I start kissing her. You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. You just kiss. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the pussy. I can do anything.
Look at those legs. All I can see is the legs.
No, it looks good.
Come on, shorty.
Oh, nice legs, huh?
Oof. Get out of the way, honey. Oh, that's good legs. Go ahead.
It's always good if you don't fall out of the bus. Like Ford, Gerald Ford, remember?
There's a little down below. Pull the hell.
Hello, how are you? Hi.
Mr. Trump, how
nice
are you?
Nice seeing you. Terrific.
Nice to meet you.
Terrific. You know Billy Bush?
Hello, how are you?
Nice to see you. How are you doing, Ariane?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Are you ready to be a soap star?
We're ready. Let's go. Make right. me a soap star.
How about absolutely. A little hug for the Donnelly? Just got off the bus.
Would you like a little
okay,
hug, darling?
Absolutely. Melania said this was okay.
I just got off the bus.
Donald Trump's comments about grabbing women by their private parts, it was especially concerning because that happened to me at the workplace. Yeah.
Whoa.
And to have to, you know, sort of relive that, and know that so many other women had to relive that when they heard those comments. It was just so disturbing. And so the fire was brewing a while.
I don't know if you remember when that happened, that writer, journalist wrote something on Twitter, just starting to say it happened to me. And then hundreds of thousands of women,
yeah.
as well, we all realized that it happened to all of us at one point.
Yeah.
Small, big, bigger, traumatic, whatever, but like this feeling of shame, feeling threatened, and feeling like crap, really, like
yeah.
being objectified. And I wanted to ask you, like, to your experience, like with the woman you met and so on, do you share that feeling?
It's been interesting because so many people have stepped forward with many different things, even beyond that. And watching the comments of people being like, oh my God, I thought I was the only person in the world that had that experience. And I can't believe you did as well. And I think that that was one of the big successes of Pantsuit Nation, you know, with these stories that were coming out. And everyone was just like, oh my God, I can't believe, you know, you had the courage to talk about this, and now it's giving me the, like, when you see this influx of support, you know, then all of a sudden it gives you the strength and courage to come out forward with your own situation. And I think that that's the thing with a lot of men. it's like we haven't come forward. That's why they continue doing it.
They don't need to fight us.
They don't need to fight us. Yeah, and there's no repercussion. There's no, like, there's no shame. There's no consequence. And we got to change that. And I think, and that's what's happening, is now all of a sudden, if something like that is experienced, people are very vocal about it. And the men back off. Like, they know. And it's also, too, you know, it's been encouraging watching a lot of men come forward. And so many men ask me, like, what can I do to help support? And I'm like, to be honest, start small. Like, you know, it starts at home, right? You know, if your kid is sick, you know, instead of your wife having to leave work, you leave work. You know, it's your kid too, right? If you're at the workplace and you're in a meeting and a woman speaks up to speak her opinion and is interrupted or shut down, stop the men in the room and say, hey, I think she was about to say something. Let's hear her out. Small things, little things like that. And it's going to change. You know,
it's behaviors.
Yes. And it's public respect and just recognizing that we're equal, right? And it's true. If women win, we all win. You're taking the most, you know, it's like, and even with like Black Lives Matter, right? If we can protect the rights of a Black woman, then you bet your ass the Black man is going to be protected as well, right?
Yeah.
But it doesn't necessarily go the other way around. So I think that's the bigger conversation.
We are now going to take a little break and we'll leave you with one of Brian's power song, Not Ready to Make Nice by Dixie Chicks.
Cause I'm mad as hell. forget. I'm not sure I could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting.
And we're back. You're listening to The Womanity Project on Radio Free Brooklyn, and I'm Aurélie Harp. So, Brianne has been telling us about how she felt on election day and how the grabbing by the pussy incident started the fire. Let's hear now how she joined the Women's March and became a women's rights activist.
And then after the results came in, it was incredibly upsetting. I mean, you were in New York that day. You could hear a pin drop. And I was on the train on the way home, and I literally had to get off the 42nd Street stop and throw up because I just felt so, like, just upset. And there was two other women doing the same thing. And we all just cried and hugged each other. And I know I'm, like, I'm getting emotional.
Me too.
Thinking about it. And it was just like, it was like one of those moments where I was like, you know, today we cry, we mourn, and then tomorrow we're going to fight. And so many other women had that same idea. So when I was on Facebook and I saw the march. So Bob Bland, she's the CEO of Manufacture New York here in Brooklyn. I don't know if you've heard of it. Incredible. Like she's done a lot for the up-and-coming fashion designers here in the city. So I have done a lot of work with the fashion industry. So I knew of Bob. We had a lot of mutual friends. And I saw her event on Facebook. And it was still very young. There was only like 1,000 people at that point. And I messaged her and I was like, oh my God, we've never met, but we have these people in common. And what can I do to help? And she's like, oh my God, like, I'm so glad that you reached out. I've heard of you too. Can you help me start to create Facebook pages for every single state? Because we're having all these volunteers wanting to bring their states to DC. So let's get that started. And I'm like, yeah, I used to work at Facebook. Like, no problem. I got this. So she added me as a host of the event. I literally thought I was going to break Facebook that night. Like, you just are watching this thing go from 1,000 to 5,000, 10,000. I went to sleep. I woke up and we were at 30,000. And it was just, and by the weekend, we were at 100,000. It was insane, just flooded with messages. And the really cool thing was, within 24 hours of me joining on, I started getting messages from Canada, from London, Geneva, Switzerland, Australia. It quickly became a global movement. So, you know, I sort of ended up transitioning from, you know, we got the states all set up. And then we took two of our sort of top state organizers and passed the baton off to them. So myself and this girl, Evie Harmon, who's in South Carolina, we shifted our focus over to global. So we've been working with the Global Initiative. And I'm so proud to say that we are at 55 cities around the world having marches.
On the 21st.
On the 21st. So there's actually over 300 marches happening around the globe.
Okay.
But over 50 of them, you know, I mean, Jakarta, Indonesia is having a march. Okay. It's just been incredible. I don't think anyone knew that it would spread like this. But it just goes to show where we're at right now in this time of history. And like you were saying before, I think that women didn't expect to be in this position. And it just, you know, it's a culmination of things. I think particularly here in the United States, we got very complacent. We got very comfortable. We stopped asking questions. We started taking our rights for granted. And this presidency sort of, it was a shock. But then to a lot of people, it wasn't, you know, and I think you can't deny the fact that 53% of white women voted for Donald Trump. And what does that say? We're missing the mark. And people are feeling, especially, you know, the quote unquote flyover states, like they feel like it. And so it's building that community again. And I think that's what's been so amazing in this whole process is talking to women that are mobilizing in Montana, like completely red state, and they've got 1,000 people coming to their march, and you know how they're doing that, and they're getting out in their community, and they're talking, they're having crucial conversations, and they're, you know, I think that especially women, when we create that network, you know, and it's just in our DNA, we're very nurturing, and you can have like a cup of coffee with somebody and be like, for real though, like, why? Where are you coming from? Let me try to understand this. Yeah. And sometimes just talking it through, you can see where they're coming from, and then okay, I get that, and then go from there and really just try to understand. But when people just feel so abandoned and lost and they're depending on these media, you know, and I mean, we saw like crazy on Facebook too, like all of the fake media going around, and people are just living life through a screen right now, and the human interaction is disappearing, and we're bringing it back.
Absolutely.
We're bringing it back, and this network is so strong. I mean, I can't even explain the people that have come forward, just super, super qualified people, and a lot of people have left their positions in the White House and have reached out and have been helping with the march. I can't name names because they want to be anonymous, but it's incredible when you're on a Skype call with somebody that regularly is in the White House, somebody that, you know, is just an amazing activist and is a member of DA and is doing amazing things. And then it's like, oh my God, like, I can't even believe we're having these conversations. I never imagined that in my life, but nobody's looking down on anybody. There's no competition. There's no, oh, well.
Leadership.
Yeah. Literally a horizontal approach where we're like, you know what? Let's all come together and let's use our strengths and let's do this. It's about taking action. And I think that's one of the big things. I feel like I could seriously write a book after this about, like, how to organize a march and have no experience doing it. But something I learned, and this is actually a saying at Facebook, move fast and break things. And it's so true for this. Like, you don't have time to ask questions. There's no time for that. We got to move. We got to take action. And yeah, that might bite you in the ass at some point, but you can't think about the failure. You got to think about the success, and you're getting flooded with volunteers, and everyone is given a chance to step up and lead. I don't think there's ever been, like, I don't know if there'll ever be such a large gathering of so many women in one place, at, you know, on the same day. And especially if you're, you know, thinking about this from a global perspective, and it's going to be intimidating as fuck. I don't know. Yeah, yeah, swear, yeah. But it's going to be like, here we are. And I think, yeah, a lot of people ask, oh, is this like an anti-Trump thing? And it's like, you know what? This isn't about a man. It's bigger than that. It's bigger than any one person. But I think it's like a bad breakup when you've been thinking about it a long time. You're stewing over it. You're not really sure. You know, there's certain things, you know, you feel insecure about. But then that one thing happens and you're like, oh, that's it. I'm done. You know, and I feel like that's what it was with the Donald Trump presidency. Yeah. Everyone was just like, all right, enough. We got to do something. And now we are. And that this gathering on the 21st, you know, it's strategically on his first day of office. A lot of people were asking, why aren't you doing it before?
Or the day of the inauguration.
Right, exactly. And it's like, no. This is his first day of office. And everybody's first day in the White House, really. Everybody that's going to be starting this administration. And we're sending a strong message like, hey, everybody you attacked during your campaigns and during your careers, we're here. Welcome to the White House. Like, we're watching you.
Yeah.
like, hear us out. Oh, he can't even handle Meryl Streep.
I know.
Like, I'm like, oh, sweetheart. You're going to wish you just have to deal with Meryl Streep after the 21st.
We're going to be here every day.
Yeah. No, she's sure. Nothing.
At one point, I was wondering about what intimacy meant, and I never realized that talking about this was the absolute intimacy.
Let's break down that psychology. I think that it's, because again, going back to the grab him by the pussy thing, it's like, that comment, not only, okay, it obviously disturbed women everywhere that have experienced that, but beyond that, you're sending a message to little boys, to men.
Absolutely.
That it's okay. That's okay. And to women, you know, that it's okay if their partner or whatever does that to them.
Yeah.
And that's the bigger problem, because... And even just the way, you know, he talks about women in general, and it's that stamp of approval. And, you know, I look at my niece, and she's 5 years old, and it's like, I would never want her to think that, oh, well, this is normal, or, oh, this is what a relationship is, or, you know, this is my role as a woman. I guess I have to be submissive and or deal with this abuse, or...
Oh, it's like a locker room talk,
oh,
right?
It's just locker room talk. Yeah, that's just normal.
You've been listening to the Womanity Project on Radio Free Brooklyn. The Women's March is on Saturday, January 21st. You can find all the information on www.womensmarch.com. The Womanity Project on Radio Free Brooklyn. You can like us and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Womanity Project. And you can support us and sponsor us on our page, radiofreebrooklyn.com/thewomanityproject. And you can listen to our episodes on audioboom.com/womanityproject. Special thanks to Brian Butler, Lizzie Hackstedt, and of course, Radio Free Brooklyn. Tune in next week, The Womanity Project on Radio Free Brooklyn, every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Au revoir tout le monde, à la semaine prochaine!